ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo.
Chris Aceto.
RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo, and I'm joined as always by Chris, the technician, Aceto. It is March 19th, 2012, and we have a special call in from Aaron Jubaka Singerman. He's on the plane flying from Australia over to the United States. Aaron, I know you have 3 minutes to give us a recap of the weekend. Hurry up. Here you go.
3 minutes. If I only give you 3 minutes, it'll be a horrible tease. But yes, I'm on the flight. I'm actually waiting. I've arrived in Los Angeles. I'm in the plane getting ready to take off to Houston, and then from Houston to Tampa. And it has been about 24 hours of traveling so far.
Wow. Now here, Yao Ming is sitting next to you on the plane, the basketball player. Is that true?
Yao Ming is not next to me. He's all the way in first class. He made a very smart decision, because I'm hoping to get him in line to at least get some audio with him, like an audio interview. But he made the smart decision to wait to be the very last person on. I was hoping he'd be up there in the front, because I'm premier, so I thought he would be first class. So I thought I'd get a chance, but he's smart. I guess he doesn't want to, like, you know.
That's my strategy.
You don't want the fans to attack you with pictures.
That's right. Now, Aaron, if you pretend you're sneaking to the bathroom, can you maybe shove like your iPhone under his nose or something like that and ask him like Chinese?
they really separate these planes, but you never know, Dave. I might give it a try. I'm like a little shell shocked from traveling, so I might be right in the perfect frame of mind to go harass Yao Ming.
Chris, you have any advice for him to try to get that interview with Yao Ming, since that'll be exclusive, of course?
Yeah, just go up to him, Aaron, just like you've known him for years, and then he'll be startled, and he'll try to picture, okay, where do I know this guy from? And then you can just start talking to him, and you know, he'll probably start, he'll talk right back.
That's the Smalley approach. The Smalley brothers, yeah. They just pretend they know you from like 10 years ago, you know?
Yeah, just
be comfortable around him, and that's it. Because most people are probably totally uncomfortable and starstruck. So if you go up and you're good at that, you know, just start talking to him, and he'll probably open right up.
Yeah, that would have been a good idea. Now I'll have to. It'll be a little bit harder to be casual walking into first class. You know, even though I'm not really supposed to, but I might still try it. You never know.
Just go sit right down next to him, like that's your seat. That's even better, probably.
go sit right down on his lap, right?
All right. So you only have a couple minutes, Aaron. Tell us right off the bat, Branch Warren, did he blow the field away? And Aaron Stern, did she deserve to beat Nicole Wilkins?
Branch Warren absolutely deserved to win. This was a better Branch Warren than maybe, quite possibly, that I've seen in years. The issues that we saw with him holding water in his back were gone. I don't know if he was just fuller and everything appeared tighter, but his back looked considerably better. I was very impressed, and he definitely deserved to win. Aaron Stern, she deserved to win at the Arnold. I think we just put her in front of a bunch of new judges, Australian judges. Beth Francis was the head judge, also American, but you know, also an Australian. And from what I understand, it was straight ones. So they had no problem putting Aaron in front of Nicole, which I think is a good thing for the sport in general, to show that nobody is impossible to beat, you know?
The question is, would Yao Ming have beaten Branch Warren? Was he that good?
He's that tall. I got to give it to you. He's extremely tall.
He's even taller than you, Aaron. You look short next to him, actually, interviewing him.
I sent you the picture of him standing at the check-in gate. He is, like, as tall as the check-in gate. He's got, I mean, I don't know his actual height, but he's well over 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, you can always ask him if you met him at, like, Peyton Manning's house or at one of Peyton Manning's party. Then it's too much. It's not too much of a stretch, and then he'll, you know, he'll search his mind for where he can place you.
That's right.
There you go.
Well, can't place you.
Good idea, Chris. Good idea.
Well, the only other person who could have beat Nicole Wilkins or Aaron Stern this weekend was Candace Keene, and she was busy doing Bros vs. Pros. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little later. She was second place in the Bros vs. Pros competition and proved to me that these figure girls can train. She's was hardcore. I don't think she'd ever done any pull-ups. She cranked out about 10 pull-ups. She never curls. She was curling with 70 pounds on the bar, which is like, you know, half her body weight. She looked like she was going to do four reps. She cranked out, you know, 29 or something like that. So these figure girls are tough as nails.
They're making me turn off the phone now. They're closing the cabin doors.
So. All right, we don't want you to get arrested. Okay. Have a safe flight, Aaron.
Am I going to be back on later? I hope so. I got a lot of stuff to say.
Well, we might have to wait till next week. We'll see what time you land. Call me when you land in Houston.
Okay, guys. Bye, Chris.
Okay, later.
That might be all we hear from him this week, Chris, because he lands pretty late.
He's going to sleep?
Yeah, well, he lands late. I don't know if I want to wait. You know, the show's got to go up. By the time he lands, the show should be up online already. So we might have to... I'm going to have a Michael Liberatore call in a little later to give me a little wrap-up of the festivities in St. Louis. And you and I will have to look at the pictures and take Aaron's lead on the fact that Branch Warren did decimate the field in Australia, and Aaron Stern upset Nicole Wilkins, the reigning champ, in also down there, or down under, as they like to say, in the Australian Outback. You know, it's funny because Branch Warren, you would think, would have a couple of guys to try to challenge him, like an Evan Santapani or Dennis Wolf down there. Because I know that the promoter, Tony Doherty, loves to fly these guys in. He's very generous with that. He pays for their expenses. There's a lot of opportunities for these guys to make a lot of money down there. And this year, it seems like no one took advantage of that. I mean, the only guy who was even close to Branch Warren was Michael Kafalianos, who we all know is probably, conditioning-wise, might have been better than Branch, but is certainly not, you know, structurally or muscularly speaking, better than Branch. And third place, Omar Deckard, who probably would never see normally a third place position, you know, got the advantage of picking up some clout, so to speak.
Some points,
which we'll get to in a minute, so people might not know what we're talking about. We're going to talk about that in a minute, but why do you think that no one came to challenge Branch Warren? I thought he was vulnerable, if anything. It wasn't like he was a shoo-in for the win.
Well, I don't know. You talked about it last week or the week before, the point being that would a Branch Warren here beat Dennis Wolf, or actually what you had pointed out is would he beat Evan if Evan was mildly improved over where he was at the Arnold. And for what we do know, you know, this is boasting, but we know for sure is, was he blasting full at the Arnold? No. Was he in great condition and hard? Yes. Had he had, you know, a couple more weeks to come off his diet, but just to, you know, let his body rest and recuperate, he might have been better here and beaten Branch.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my opinion.
I think it would have been something to look out for there and really get excited and, you know, about.
Some of this bodybuilding, not some of it, but it's a lot of it. Let's face it, is about momentum and perceived momentum. If Evan had gone to Australia and beaten Branch, Evan would have had the momentum going into, you know, the Olympia that, okay, he's capable of, quote, beating Branch on any given day. Same thing with Wolf.
Even if they didn't let him beat Branch, and he should have beat Branch, he would have had that momentum because people would have been talking.
Absolutely.
So I think it was a mistake on their part. You know, I think that the problem was, and this is, you know, this is going to lead to our next point, really, is that a lot of guys felt that with the new rule that you had to win a show to qualify for the Olympia, that it wasn't worth going down there to qualify. Now, remember, if you placed top three at the Arnold, you already had qualified for the Olympia. So Evan and Wolf already got the qualification at this point. Maybe, I know Evan doesn't like to travel, but even the other guys that were in that, like Dexter and Sean Roden and Bikulski, all these guys that could have snagged the qualification, they probably think, well, I got to win this show, so it's not going to matter. I'm not going to beat Branch.
Well, that's why Craig didn't go down there.
Right. I mean, exactly.
You know, Craig didn't go because he is he going to beat Branch Warren? No. So, you know, that's one of the reasons he didn't go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's a problem, and what happened is, to fix the problem is they adopted this new rule, this IFBB Pro Olympia Qualification Series, which depending on who you, okay, I don't know who's taking credit for it. I know Bob Ciccarillo is taking credit for pushing it through, which is, I'm sure, something that he did do.
Where did it first come from?
I believe it first came from Tony Freeman about a year ago, and I talking on the show about the fact that bodybuilding should be like auto racing and that they should have a championship point series. So every show is given a certain amount of points. First through 10th place, actually. But the first through 5th place would be given a certain amount of points for a win. And obviously the Arnold Olympia would be weighted heavier, okay, than the other shows. Maybe the New York Pro also weighted heavier, since usually the competition is better there. And, you know, the people with the most points at the end of the year would qualify for the Olympia, as well as, you know, you could name an overall points champion at the end of the year. Tony and I had talked about this a number of times. You and I even discussed it last week a little bit, that it would be, it would create more interest and it would enable people to feel that they don't have to necessarily win a show to qualify for the Olympia. But the more shows you do, so the guys who compete a lot, like the Troy Alves and those guys, would be, it would be easier for them to qualify for the Olympia. They adopted this rule, okay? They created a point system where they're giving points for second through fifth place. Now, mm-hmm. the feeling is that, well, the person, you know, the person who places first is already qualified for the Olympia. Now, if you're just generating this point system to create Olympia qualifications, I guess that works fine. But I think that they're missing the boat here, because I think that you can get a really, if I had enough money, I would make Species Nutrition the sponsor of the Olympia, of the point system, or whatever you want to call it, the qualification series. I think you should call it the championship series, the IFBB Pro Championship yeah. series is what I would call it. And I'd get a sponsor, and I would you know, give away a nice prize for the winner, the second place and third place in the point system. If the guys are already qualified for the Olympia by virtue of the fact that they either won a show or that they placed, you know, top two at the New York Pro, or what is it, top three at the Olympia, then you just move them out and you pick the next five guys for the qualification, or girls, because this applies to all the divisions essentially. And I think it would create a lot of interest, Chris, because now not only is the Mr. Olympia the most exciting thing, but now you want to see who the point winner is. And it might not be the Mr. Olympia. Even though the Olympia would probably be given the most points, you still, you know, some of these guys will have done multiple shows. So it would be the guy who's the most prolific, if you may.
Yeah, no, it would. It's definitely a way of recognizing outside of who's Mr. Olympia or who the Arnold Classic champion is, who is one of the more consistent or, quote, best bodybuilders outside of winning those titles. You know what I mean? Yeah. Meaning who's the most consistent? Who's, you know, who's great? You know, right. I mean, you might not win the Olympia. Only one person can. Same thing with the Arnold. But you might be somebody who's able to garner enough points to be considered, you know, just uniquely distinctive in what you've accomplished for the year. I think it's a good idea. Mm. I think you should bring it. Maybe you and Bob and Lonnie Teeperk and Jim Mannion can all hammer it out in a Donald Trump boardroom session.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is what they told me, and I was speaking with Lee Thompson and Bob this past weekend in St. Louis about this whole thing, and I was saying, you know, how they should really give points to the first place winner as well. And they were yeah. trying to say, well, the first place winner's already qualified. They don't need any points. Well, it doesn't matter, though. You want to get a points champion. And I said, you know, the top five at the Olympia qualify, right? So,
yeah.
You're giving them points, second, right? So I guess second through, maybe they're not. Maybe they're not giving any points at the Olympia. I don't know. I think that it's silly not to give points. I guess the top five qualify at the Olympia, and then they don't give any points for those. So the only people getting points are the second through fifth place finishers at all these shows. The Arnold Classic, if you're second, you get 8 points. Third, 7 points. Fourth, 6 points. 5 points for fifth. I don't know. The Charoux Classic, they're giving this a very high amount of points, too, probably because they're getting, and the Arnold Classic in Europe, they're giving a lot of points to as well, probably because of the fact that usually the top guys seem to be doing that. So I think that Arnold Classic Europe is going to become a show that a lot of guys are going to do, because they're giving away a lot of points for second through fifth. New York Pro would be that tier, that third tier where they get 5 points for second, 4 points for third, 3 points for fourth, then 2 points for fifth, and then the other shows will be 4, 3, 2, 1. So, you know, I think it's a good idea. Obviously, what happens if you're coming second three times, Chris, and you get, you know, 3 points for each, or 4 points for each second place? That gives you 12 points, and then you win a show. Do they automatically pull you out of the points now? You know what I'm saying? It's not really consistent, because some guys, so in other words, if you won a show, you would get no points for winning that show. Now, you qualified for the Olympia, but now your points really don't reflect how good you've done for the year. You see my problem with that?
Exactly. Yeah, no, exactly. I think it needs, I mean, the upside is they scrapped the old model because, as we were saying a couple weeks ago, you know, people like Hyde, who's been 10th in the Olympia a couple times, he may not even qualify right. under the previous way of right. setting it up, because he may not win a show. Sure. Or certainly second place guy, although he's won a show, is Sand Nutrition's, help me out,
with Ed
the guy
Nunn.
With the crazy.
Ed Nunn.
Ed Nunn. Yeah. I mean, he did win a show last year, but he's the type of physique where he deserves to be in the Olympia, and yet he may not win a show.
Now, I think really, you know, we're talking men and strategizing here, and I think it would, but really, this really is going to be more helpful to the women's events because they have a million bikini and figure shows. So a lot of these girls can't win a show, but they come in second, third, fourth, fifth, second, third, fourth, fifth. You know, so if they do a lot of shows, they build up enough points, they could be the points winner, you know. And but once again, it goes back to, don't you want to see who won the most points for the year? Including the first place people. I mean, it just kind of just, it becomes exciting because you're seeing these people in this, in like a standings, almost like a baseball standings, but you're really not seeing a true standings because you're not seeing the first place winners in there. I want to see all the athletes ranked one through whatever it is, you know, based on, you know, their points. And I think that it's, they're missing the boat here. While it works for qualification spots perfectly, it doesn't work for the excitement factor that I think it will generate from people, you know, anticipating who's in the lead. Don't you? I mean, we all love standings, don't you? You always, I'm sure you check the standings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, in baseball and football, because you want to see who's winning. You know, that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, people used to like that, you know, that old, I don't know how they came up with the points, but they used to, Muscle Mag International used to rate the bodybuilders based on some type of point system.
Right.
Who's number one through like 100. Yeah. And although it had some flaws in it because people weren't competing, it was kind of, you know, cool to look at because it gave you a rating system. You know, you could compare other than, you know, who won what show.
Right.
It gives you an idea of, you know, where people stand. So I'm in a, you know, I agree with you.
No one understood how that system worked. That was the problem. They never put the points down on paper. So if they would have done that, I think people would have been more excited. I like the fact that the IFBB here have put these points on paper. What I would do is, like, let's say for the Arnold Classic, for instance, they give it. And first of all, they're not giving any points for the Olympia because they're just saying, well, the top five already qualified. We don't have to give them points. I would make they have the Arnold Classic, you know, second place finisher getting 8 points. I would have the winner getting 20 points. Okay. A lot more, in other words, than the second place. And I would give the Olympia winner 30 points, you know, to start with. So it's almost an insurmountable lead if you win the Olympia to not win the points total. But it's not. But some guys, if they do a lot of shows, can catch up and win. So
yeah, how about being able to trade in the total amount of points you have at the end of the season for cash?
Well, I think they should offer cash prizes. Think about it for a second. If you got a sponsor, it wouldn't cost them anything. The sponsor would be giving away the money. You can get Chevy to fucking sponsor the thing and give away the money, or Coca-Cola or something like that, or you know, In-N-Out Burger or something like that. GNC. You know, let GNC give away 25 grand to the points winner, or 50 grand to the points winner, 25,000 to second place, 13,000 to third place. That would be exciting.
Yeah, no, it's exciting for the fans, but it's also, when there's money involved, of course, it's exciting for the bodybuilders. And, you know, if you flash money, I mean, bodybuilders compete, meaning they always want to be the best that they can be. But we saw at the Miami Masters show, when you dangle a lot of money, people come in really good shape. So if there's, at the end of the year, if you can change or turn in some of these points for cash prizes, you know, even if it's the top 5 point getters or whatever it may be for the year.
But
you're going to see people, you know, competing more often, I think, and coming in and even, you know, at their very best.
Let's say, look at this, for instance. Let's say I'm a company that's not as big and I can't afford to give 50, 25, and $13,000 in prize money to the men's overall winner. Maybe I sponsor the bikini standings, okay?
Yeah,
the bikini girls, maybe I only got to give maybe I got to give 7,000, 5,000, 3,000 or something like that. Maybe as a company, I could afford that. And if I can see my name and my logo on the bikini rankings the whole year long, that'll be great, you know? And it would be another way for these girls to make a few bucks and to get notoriety, because we would be talking and you and I would be doing mathematical, you know, we'd have to get Joel Goldberg on here to figure out the mathematics of how, with two shows left, who could win these standings, point standings. It would become actually strategy at this point. It would actually be turn bodybuilding into something numerically, which it never has been before, you know?
Yeah. All good points. I have no disagreement with you on any of those points.
If Troy Alves, say, is in second place in the point standing, and he wasn't planning on doing a show at the end of the year, but he says, hey, if I get one more win, I can seal the points total, he might then diet his ass off and do another show. Now you got more people doing shows instead of less.
Yeah, well, because it's all about involvement. Yeah. Meaning, the more competitors you can put on stage, the bigger the audience, more number of shows, more sponsors. You know, everyone wins.
Yeah. So anyway, it was St. Patrick's Day in St. Louis. Well, it was St. Patrick's Day everywhere, but Jack Tatone, the promoter of the St. Louis Pro, hired an angry leprechaun who was on stage and who does not like to be called a midget. And, of course, Bob Chicarillo was telling the Ed McMahon jokes the whole night. And I think that the angry leprechaun almost took him out, you know, took his kneecaps out. So... I don't get the whole thing with St. Patrick's Day, and I think we talked about this last week. St. Patrick's Day has become like a month now. Everyone's drinking nonstop. It's like just another excuse to get drunk every night. And I wasn't planning on having anything to drink, but after this, the weekend was so stressful after Bros vs. Pros was over on Sunday night. I actually had a few drinks and a couple cups of sake, and that was my official St. Patrick's Day celebration. Yeah, it helped a lot.
I find you to be extra coherent today.
Yeah, you know what,
like
the funny
right
thing?
On your game.
Most people drink and they pass out. I drink and I can't fall asleep. I don't know what the problem is.
Why? What is it?
I don't know. I don't know what the deal is.
Because you don't drink much. It probably has the opposite effect on you. Alcohol is a suppressant, but... Yeah, it suppresses the nervous system, but maybe if it,
I think
in moderation, acts to excite the nervous system.
I don't know. I don't think I drank. Maybe I didn't drink enough. I didn't get drunk. I just got buzzed. I think that's the problem. I didn't have a hangover or anything, so that was a good sign, I guess. Well, the St. Louis Pro Show was exciting, I will admit. I don't know how Jack does it. Every year I talk to him about this. He was prejudging, and he was all upset. He only sold 600 tickets for prejudging. I said, Jack, most people don't sell 600 tickets at the night show.
That's a dream for some promoters.
Yeah, it was a beautiful dream. Then he sold like 1,400 tickets at night. So the place was packed to the hilt. It was a raving success. I know he made a lot of money on the show. He was in a very good mood after the show was over. He wasn't in a good mood leading up to the show, but he was in a good mood because everyone gets stressed out, I think. And then after the show is over, he was in a very good mood, and he took us out to dinner, and we had a good time at Bros vs. Pros on Sunday. But the competition was interesting. There wasn't a lot of people in the lineups. The classes were under 10 people in both the bikini, the figure, the women's physique, the bikini, and fitness. They had fitness. I'm sorry about that. And but the competition was stiff, and I had a good time. I'm going to rehash this a little bit later with Michael Liberatore, who was there. We're going to break down everything that went on. I just want to announce Oksana Grishina won the women's fitness division. I have been saying all along, and you know this, you've heard me say this, that she will be the heir apparent to that fitness Olympia throne when Adela steps down. No doubt in my mind. Best routine maybe of all time, she does. Jennifer Andrews won the bikini division. She defended her title from last year. And in the first St. Louis Pro Women's Physique, Sarah Hurley wins that. And she decided to do the show a week before. She was preparing for figure, Chris, believe it or not. And she decided, I'm going to do Women's Physique. A lot of guys were twisting her arms to do it. And she did it, and she won. Michelle Blank, who was second, was supposed to do the Pro Fitness division, got injured. Bob Chicarillo convinced her the night before to do the Women's Physique division. I guess it was a good decision because she came in second, and I'll fill everyone in a little more on that. Chris, we're going to take a commercial break, though, but when we come back, we're going to talk about the Bros vs. Pros 10 X Factor, because that, for me, was possibly the most exciting thing that went on this weekend. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
There are three aspects to athletic performance: energy, endurance, and recovery. And there is one nutrient that enhances all three: oxygen. Maximize explosiveness and power, increase reps, improve muscular endurance, dramatically reduce recovery times, and enhance mental focus. No matter what your sport, no matter what your level, it's all about oxygen. Check out oxygenforenergy.com. 95% pure oxygen for serious athletes. That's oxygen, the number 4, energy.com.
Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com, the newest and hottest supplement super site. We carry all the major brands, including Species, MHP, BPI, BSN, Optimum Nutrition, Gasparri, and many more. Low on cash? No problem. ExtremeFitNutrition.com offers competitive prices that our competitors can't beat. Now you can supplement your diet without having to supplement your bank account. Here's some of our specials. Buy $100 worth of Species products or Metabolic Nutrition and get a free t-shirt and bag. Buy $200 worth of BSN products and receive a BSN t-shirt and shaker bottle. Check out ExtremeFitNutrition.com for more great deals. Visit us at the 2011 Olympia Expo. Stop by booth number 322 and meet IFBB pros Bethany Wagner, Guy Cisternino, Tiana Gonzalez, and Gina Trociano. Remember, there's only one Extreme. Visit ExtremeFitNutrition.com now.
What's up, everyone? This is Dave Palumbo with RxMuscle.com. First things first, thanks for supporting our site. And speaking of support, we couldn't do what we do without the support of our advertisers. So I feel it's very important at this time to ask you to support our advertisers by purchasing their great products and by clicking on their banner ads right on this very page. I also want to point out the great deal that my friends over at SciFit Nutrition are offering. Buy one, get one free for their new pre-workout formula, Dark Energy. Now, let me tell you something about Dark Energy. Number one, it comes in six great flavors. And from what I hear from my friend Ian Lauer, the editor-in-chief of RX Muscle's sister site, mensphysique.com, his workouts are literally in the stratosphere. This is a guy who's got so much energy in the gym, and I never knew where it came from. SciFit's new Dark Energy. Buy one, get one free. Click on that banner ad on the right side of the screen and support the people who support us.
Tad the Diet Coach, contest prep guru for bodybuilding, bikini, physique, and figure. Go to tadthedietcoach.com, an expert on nutrition and exercise science with over 20 years experience in fitness and bodybuilding. Tad the Diet Coach offers a complete scientific and individually focused contest prep or a full off-season plan that is custom tailored for your own unique needs. This kind of diet coaching is a premium coaching service that includes weekly conference calls, individually based diet and supplement plans, specific cardio and workout schedules, and constant contact during the contest prep or off-season process. Tad the Diet Coach, author of the Diet Recipe Cookbook, and also the creator of the Coach's Choice Whey Protein Isolate, which is the absolute best-tasting premier isolate on the market. Tad the Diet Coach will get you to the next level. Go now to tadthedietcoach.com or send an email to info@tadthedietcoach.com.
Out on the edge of fitness and endurance, there's a line. It's where winners and losers are defined. That's the narrow place where Gamma O gives the serious competitor the extra step. That extra kick nobody knew was there. Gamma O raises your testosterone level naturally and legally. So before you step up to the line one more time, be prepared to bring it with Gamma O, the all-natural testosterone booster. Gamma O is available nationwide at General Nutrition Centers or on the web at GammaO.com.
Fusion Bodybuilding makes bodybuilding strongest supplements, and they're committed to giving back to you. Fusion Bodybuilding not only want to promote the bodybuilding lifestyle, but they also want to help build the sport. Bodybuilding is all they do. It's their obsession. You know the feeling. That's why you're here. Visit Fusion Bodybuilding at FusionBodybuilding.com or join in on the conversation on the Fusion Bodybuilding fan page on Facebook, where you'll find IFBB Pro Q&As, contest giveaways, and nothing but in-depth bodybuilding talk. Fusion Bodybuilding, bodybuilding's strongest supplements. Head over to FusionBodybuilding.com today.
P28 High Protein Bread is the official bread of RX Muscle. Are you looking to incorporate more protein into your meals or just want to enjoy bread again? Then look no further. Try the 100% natural P28 High Protein Bread. P28 High Protein Bread is a formulated revolutionary breakthrough product packed with whey protein isolate, 14 grams of protein per slice, 12 grams of carbs, 8 essential amino acids, and made with 100% whole wheat. Fear bread no more. Build a better body with P28. Order today at highproteinbread.com. P28 is also now available at bodybuilding.com and many other retailers. Order now. highproteinbread.com. P28 bread. RX Muscle approved.
isolate and grow with the Isolator. The Isolator is a unique device that allows you to target muscle groups like never before. Ever wanted to get that perfect contraction right at the belly of the muscle to stimulate new growth? The Isolator can do just that. Can't seem to bring up your chest or back? The Isolator will help you get those new muscle gains. The Isolator is hands-free, so your grip isn't affected. That means if you have any nagging injuries, such as joint or rotator cuff pain, or problems with your grip, then the Isolator will have you back in the gym today. The Isolator follows your natural range of motion without being locked into a machine or at the mercy of those old-school hand grips and rigid pull-down bars. That means you can still do bench presses, pull-downs, rows, flies, and whatever other movement you normally do, but with greater stimulation and a lot less stress on your joints. To find out more about the Isolator, visit isolatorfitness.com. Check out the videos and see the Isolator in action. Isolate and grow with the Isolator. Visit isolatorfitness.com.
On March 17, 2012, St. Patrick's Day weekend, First Form and Hydralyze Ultra present the First Form Pro Women's Physique, Fitness, and Bikini Championship, along with the First Form NPC Midwest Bodybuilding, Fitness, Figure, Physique, Bikini, and Men's Physique Championship, a national qualifier. This event has so many perks for both athletes and fans alike. Just ask the over 1,300 guests that attended last year's event. Taking place at the St. Louis University Bush Student Center, you'll watch IFBB Pro and future superstar Mike Liberatore and current IFBB Pro superstar Kai Greene as they light up the stage with their posing routines. Six-time Fitness Olympia Adela Garcia will be in attendance. The top male and female pros and top amateurs from across the country are coming to St. Louis. Plus, the RX Muscle model search is taking place. Here's your chance to win some great prizes, get a photo shoot, and also be featured on RXMuscle.com. Come meet the top supplement companies in attendance at their booths with free samples. March 17th, 2012 in St. Louis, Missouri. All contest information can be found at npcmidwest.com, including tickets and prices. Don't miss it. Go to npcmidwest.com for all information.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo on the line with Chris the Technician Aceto, and we're just talking about all things happening over St. Patrick's Day weekend. Obviously, Branch Warren emerging victorious in Australia. That's two in a row for Branch on his comeback trail from the torn right quadricep. Chris, looking at the, obviously you and I weren't there. Jubaka was there, but he's on a plane now to Houston. But what do you think of Branch's leg? Did you look at the pictures? Does it detract from his physique, or does it?
No,
blend?
I'm fine with it. I'm more concerned with the Jubaka Christmas tree than anything else.
The Jubaka Christmas tree? What, you don't think he's that tight from the lower back? Is that what you're?
No,
problem?
I just don't. I think. The leg is noticeable, but I can get by it. What I think is problematic is the back double bicep. I mean, what do you think?
You know,
I'm talking going into the Olympia, Phil Heath, back double bicep, Jay if he's in the show, Kai Greene if he's in the show, Victor Martinez if he gets out of jail and is in the show. How's the back double bicep look?
The back double bicep, in my mind, is not as good as I've seen it. It was better than at the Arnold, for certain, I think. I just think that it's funny because I like mass freaks. I mean, that's what I like to see, like in guest poses. But Branch is just not as the most aesthetic guy. And I think what's happening is, as he's getting more injuries, he's having overcompensation, which means he's getting muscle in weird places that he doesn't have it before. He's so overly muscular. He's got to be the most. There's no doubt that no one could beat him in most muscular, that most muscular award at the Arnold. He has that thing wrapped up for the next 10 years if he wants.
Well, how many has he won? He's won how many?
Six or five or something like that. I don't know.
Six,
like crazy amount of them, But because that's the award was made for him. That's the quintessential definition of that award, for him.
To his defense, the criticism, my knock on him is the back double.
Yeah.
The flip side to that is, if you look at pictures of him on the internet, you can tear him apart. And in real life, he's just got a lot of rugged muscle that, to me, it just doesn't show well in pictures compared to...
He looks better in person. You're right. He does look better in person. You're 100% right.
I mean, I look at pictures of the Arnold and I say, God, this guy won the Arnold, but I was there at the Arnold and at certain times of prejudge and he was really wrapped up with a lot of muscle that was, pretty freaky. It just doesn't show in pictures.
Yeah, the guy has got a tremendous amount of muscle mass on in his body. And the problem is that when we see like these overall champions, we're used to seeing guys that have great shape, okay? You almost want these guys to win. But the problem is, and this has been Branch's advantage his whole career, is that he comes into these shows always, usually he's always on the mark, usually, or close to it. Even his a little off the mark is still better than most guys on the mark. And he comes into these shows, and guys that should beat him are off. And he takes advantage of it all the time, especially when
he's the
underdog.
Every time.
And he beats these guys, and you can't complain about it because the guy deserves it because he's got more muscle and he's better conditioned than these guys. And these guys are leaving the door open for him to sneak in there and steal it. And he's done it time after time again. And you know what? You don't be surprised if it doesn't happen at the Olympia one year. So if Phil Heath comes off and Ty Green comes in off, Branch Warren could win the Olympia. And you'll look at him and you'll say, how did this guy win the Olympia? And you'll say, you know why? Because he beat everyone in the lineup on that day. And that's what it's about. Branch Warren wins these shows because he's the best guy on that day. Doesn't mean he's the best bodybuilder in the IFBB currently competing. It means he's the best guy on that day, on that stage. And that's what bodybuilding's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head as usual. And that's I think what we've learned about Branch is that he's resilient. And if he thinks he's going to do something, he always says, you know, don't doubt me or whatever in these little speeches. But you know, some people say, don't doubt me, and the first thing you do is doubt him.
Yeah.
So, you know, in regards to heading towards Olympia, he'll probably be improved in some way, and he will probably be much higher than people predict because just by the fact of the way you just explained it, you know, he'll come in at his best or close to his best, if not his best, and some people won't hit the mark, and he'll get by him.
Yeah. Well, congratulations! You gotta give a congratulations to Branch. Two successful wins on a comeback that people thought, including you and me, were impossible. The guy is the comeback kid of the year. Michael Kafalianos, congratulations to him. I mean, to be second place next to Branch is an accolade, especially in your adopted home country there of Australia where you live. He brought the best conditioning I've seen, much better than when we saw him at the Arnold. He deserved second place. Some people say he should have beat Branch. I don't see that. But, you know, his symmetry looked pretty good because he was so gnarly hard. He definitely was the hardest guy on stage, without a doubt.
And, well, the same can be said about Kefleanos as what you just said about Branch, meaning he always comes in on. And then a lot of shows when he's, you know, fourth or fifth, he ends up beating people who are, quote, I hate this, better bodybuilders than him, meaning they got better shape, more fullness, yeah, this type of thing. But his impeccable condition pushes him ahead of people who could beat him had they been in shape.
It's funny because you see Omar Deccan in third. Now, you know, I'm looking at Omar, and Omar probably would not place, you know, top 10 in, you know, a show in the United States, you know, that we would normally go to. I mean, his glutes and hamstrings are not tight enough. You know, he's lacking muscle still in the gluten area, and his legs are still small in the upper body. He's got a nice shape. But that just goes to show you that the show dropped off after second place quite a bit. Darren Onokawa was fourth. Luke Timms was fifth. These guys are, you know, guys that normally would never get a chance, you know, to really place high. Actually, you know, you look at this guy, Darren Onokawa, and I didn't really know who he was. He's pretty impressive. I would have probably had him
third. Yeah, no, he's good, too. Yes, he's very good.
He's got a great upper body, you know. I don't know what they didn't like about him. He still could have been a little tighter in the glute and hamstring. Maybe Omar just had a little more name recognition. And this Luke Timms guy is pretty good, too. You know, his conditioning was good. You know, he's got some structural issues, and his legs could be a little bigger. But, you know, all in all, I guess these guys have to be happy that they actually even got to place as high as they did, given the fact that normally they probably would not be in the top 10 of a pro show.
True.
I want to talk, Chris, about the IFBB figure event down there, or down under. I keep mixing that up. And because there was a very big, controversial movement, I guess you could say, by the judges to put Aaron Stern above Nicole Wilkins. Now, this is a big deal because usually when the Arnold Classic takes place every year and they crown a champion, it's usually almost a said and done thing. When the champion goes to Australia the week or two after, they always win. And this wasn't to happen. The same two competed against each other again, Aaron Stern, Nicole Wilkins, and they flip-flopped. And arguably, a lot of people, you and I, thought the same thing. At the Arnold, we thought that Aaron Stern and Candace Keene should have beaten Nicole Wilkins, who was way off her best condition. And that they actually picked the right winner. Aaron Stern wins the event. Nicole Wilkins has to settle for second place. Is this a message the judges are sending to Nicole Wilkins?
Well, I think that, I mean, judging by pictures, I think Nicole Wilkins was actually in better shape here than she was 2 weeks ago. So it looked like she was, you know, on her diet. But, yeah, it was a message, you know, to some degree, the message was you can't rest on your laurels.
Right.
You know, we're going to judge every show, you know, like from scratch, which is exciting for, you know, any athletes, you know, because I'm sure, you know, someone like Aaron Stern's headed down there to Australia thinking, okay, I can't beat Nicole Wilkins because just what you said, you know, she just won the Arnold, a lot of recognition after the Arnold, you know, she's in the lead, she's number one, how am I going to beat her? And guess what? She loses.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they picked the right person, too, because this is sending a huge message that you cannot, like you said, rest on your laurels. You cannot come in shape. And the bottom line is that she shouldn't have won the week before or 2 weeks earlier at the Arnold, and a lot of people knew that. So I'm glad that the message was loud and clear, and I hope come Olympia time, the field is wide open. I hope they leave it open for an Aaron Stern to win or a Candace Keene to possibly win or even Nicole Wilkins to come back and reclaim her crown. But she has to know that she's got to come in shape. Now, I don't understand the mentality of some of these people. It seems to happen in the women's ranks a little bit more than the men's ranks. But although we've seen it happen to Jay Cutler, too, how do you come into Olympia or a reigning Miss Figure Olympia and not be at your best? And this has not happened once, or this has happened multiple times already, and it happened multiple times to Jay too. How could someone screw up like that, Chris? I mean, what goes on? Is there like a self-destruct mechanism in there, or is it a matter of the fact that the person just doesn't know what they're doing to get in shape?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of times it boils down to people putting pressure on themselves and they try to perfect their contest prep. And I always say for any athlete, if you're trying to come up with the perfect contest prep, guarantee you're going to miss, because the contest prep really has to be fluid. You can't just come up with a perfect plan and get ready. So, you know, in some of these cases, an athlete may be really strict on the diet when, in fact, there's times where, you know, to get your body to go where you want it to go, maybe you shouldn't be so strict. Or they rely on previous contest prep methodologies where they say, gosh, you know, that year I looked really good at, or that show I looked really good and I did X, Y, Z. And they try to follow right to a T what they did last time, X, Y, Z, and it doesn't work. So, you know, there's variables that go into the contest prep. But, you know, in this case, Nicole Wilkins getting second. I just think at the Arnold in here, she just has the ideal physique, but really to put it away, she needs to have more, a little bit more muscle and a little bit less body fat.
Really, I think it just amounted to less body fat. They don't seem to have a problem with her muscularity. So you're right. I would like to see her have a little bit more muscle on her, but I don't think the judges even care. They like her look. They think she's marketable. She just, I mean, you can visibly look at the pictures. You could see around her knees, she just was holding water and fat. And then, you know, you can't do that on stage because these judges cannot reward people who are not in shape. It just, you can't do it. It sends a terrible message to the other competitors that it doesn't matter what you do, you're not going to beat this girl. And now, by allowing Aaron to beat her, and this is the second time this has happened, Aaron beat her at the Olympia, if you remember, 1 year as well. They have to hold her to this standard. If Nicole cannot come in shape, they cannot let her win. And I think that this was a very good message the judges sent, and so I'm proud. I heard Bev Francis was the head judge, so my kudos and hat goes off to her.
Well, there you go. That answers the question, because Bev Francis is probably one of the... I attended seminars with her in 87, 88 when she came to the bodybuilding camp. And I take my hat off to her as probably being one of the most knowledgeable and informative bodybuilders, male or female, that I ever came across in all the years that I been to seminars and this and that. She knows how to teach, and she's an athlete, so I can't imagine someone like Bev Francis sitting there and rewarding someone that she doesn't think quite brought it on that day because she's got such an athlete's mentality.
True. You're right.
So if she was the head judge, I can, if she was the head judge, I'm not saying I don't want to go back and relive the Branch Warren, Evan Centipani thing, but right. I will. If Evan was there and he was better, I would have no problem. I bet Bev would, whatever you put in front of her that day, that's how she's going to judge it. This is probably went down with the figure,
Yeah, I think you're right.
No freebies from her.
You're right.
No freebies.
That's a good point. Very good point. Once again, you got to take into account who's there on the judging panel. And Bev Francis running that Australian judging panel probably did things the right way. So kudos to the judging panel. We don't always say that. So today we're giving a kudos out. Let's talk about Bros versus Pros 10, the X Factor. The X-Man, Tony Freeman, taking on the world, we called it. And it really was that. This was the biggest, believe it or not, Jack is an amazing promoter, I got to be honest with you. This was the most amount of people we've ever had enter a men's event. We had 20 guys enter to try to challenge the X-Man to win that $2,000 in cash prizes. And that Chris, because, it was the day after a big event. It was held in St. Louis. You think maybe there's not a lot of guys down there, but I got to be honest with you, St. Louis has got a lot of bodybuilders. They got a lot of strongmen, a lot of power lifters. And we got four states worth of people coming in there. We had guys from Arkansas. We had people from Tennessee. We had people from, obviously, the state of Missouri. All over the place coming in. Chicago. And you know what? It just shows to show you that Bros vs. Pros is very popular now among the fans. And that's what it is. It's a grassroots type of competition that pits the pro bodybuilders, the pro athletes against the regular guys. The guys in the gym who bust their fucking ass day in, day out with no rewards. They don't make any money doing it. Because they do it because they love the sport and they love to lift. And that's what we're championing and that's what we're celebrating here. And I'm so happy that I can say that we have gotten to the 10th rendition of this. I'm going to have Michael Liberatore on a little later. He was in the event. There was a little controversy with him. I'm going to go over that in a minute. And ironically, most people don't realize, but the very first Bros versus Pros, Chris, was Mike Liberatore versus Jeff the Producer, one-on-one, bro versus pro. A curl competition with 80-pound dumbbells. Michael Liberatore curled the dumbbells 37 times, the 80-pound dumbbells. Jeff, the producer, did it 40 times and beat him. And that's how it all started. I don't know if you were aware of that.
No, I do. Well, Jeff's still holding his pump from that original Bros versus Pros 10 times ago.
Mike wants a rematch, but Jeff will never do it. So...
He's because he's got bragging rights for good.
That's right. He's like the Mark Henry winning that first Arnold Strongman.
Yeah.
So
what the highlight of the Bros versus Pros for you was what? Freeman?
I'm eating something right now. I want to tell you what I mean. I'm eating this new raw cacao bar I'm creating. I'm going to be selling it on my website. It's raw cacao is what people think of as cocoa. The true herb is cacao. It's got no caffeine in it. It's got theobromine in there, Chris, along with a lot of polyphenolics and antioxidants. And theobromine actually dilates the vessels in your brain. It makes you more alert because it brings more blood to your brain. It doesn't have any stimulant effects. It makes you smarter. That's right. It's a smart drug, too. But anyway, I have this crazy guy, the alchemist, I call him, or he calls himself, and he makes up these raw cacao bars, and he puts these mushroom extracts in there that help detoxify the body. The cacao, obviously, to help antioxidants, polyphenolics, good for health, but also good for focus in the gym, not really stimulating the body, but dilating the brain so that the brain can focus better. And I have no carbs in it. I am using stevia exclusively as a sweetener, which everyone told me I was crazy to do because it wouldn't taste good. And I've been sampling it out to all the women because you know what? It kills your appetite. You eat one little square, one-eighth of this bar. It's delicious. It has a rich chocolate taste. It kills your appetite because it blunts it. That's what this stuff does. And you know what? It gives you a lot. It makes you feel energized. And I got to eat these things all freaking weekend. That's how I got through the whole weekend. And everyone started asking me what I was eating. And I started handing them out. Now, you know me. I'm lactose intolerant. So these have no dairy in them. There's no milk products. It's not milk chocolate. There's nothing in here. And there's no sugar. And so it doesn't make, if I was always a guy who broke out from chocolate, I don't break out from these things. I love them. And, you know, I handed them out to Candace Keene, had some. Gail Auerbach had some. And they, everyone loved them. Not one person told me they did not like these things. And guess what? I'm going to be selling them on my website probably in another couple weeks. And I'm going to be making it mandatory for my athletes that I train. And I'm going to maybe give you a couple bars to hand out to your athletes. Like one or two squares a day. You know, there's no carbs in it. It's like 2 grams of protein and it's like 2 grams of fat per square. I guarantee you add these into these people's diets, they won't cheat. It'll take that sweet craving away. And it's a way to wake yourself up without having to pound and pound caffeine.
Can I give you my testimonial?
Yes. Oh, you had
Can
some.
Can I give
That's
you a
right.
testimonial?
Yes,
That's
I want you.
Forgot. At the Arnold, I was foraging off them.
Yes, you were. I forgot.
Sitting next to you at the Arnold Classic. And, you know, now that I think back, you know me anyway, I don't have a big appetite, but I ate like nothing for the whole entire weekend, for the 3 days that you saw me. And, you know, I was running around like with my head chopped off, meaning, you know, I was running around with tons of energy. And I thought they taste great. That's why I kept on. I mean, I was eating them for the taste. I kept on saying, Dave, give me another piece. Give me another piece. Not for the effects.
And you're a stimulant junkie, too, so you didn't even need to drink as much coffee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you might be our first endorsed athlete on the Dave Palumbo Raw Cacao Bars, endorsed by Chris Cicito.
I don't know what, I'm everything I've endorsed. I love the cacao bars, or the treats, whatever you want to call them. Yeah. I love the Nitrolize.
Oh, yeah, you do. That's right. You tried it. I forgot. That's right.
And I said the protein powder that you make, Isolize.
Yeah.
I said it's the absolute best tasting powder
Thank
on the
you.
Market.
Thank you very much.
When I was at your house, I drank it a couple times a day. I went through, you know, all the different flavors, and I thought it was absolutely fantastic.
Thank you.
And I've recommended it to people, and they say, what type of whey? And I said, if you want a pure whey, you know, not with, you know, hidden lactose in it and a bunch of other crap, you know, Dave's the place to go.
Thank you
and
very much.
And that's the truth. You know, because I have no, you know.
I appreciate it.
I would.
Juan Morel took all the samples of the Nitrolize home with him that we had. And we were sampling out the Nitrolize S formula, which is the one, I have one without because I'm not a big stimulant guy myself. But some people like the stims in it. So I put one out with some buffered caffeine in it. So Juan took them all home. He took like pounds of the stuff home. He does it like 2-3 times a day. I told him he's out of his mind. He loves the stuff. He's like, because you know what happens is you get that nitric oxide rush, and it is like a rush. And I guess when you're dieting like he is, he can do it a couple times a day. It's got no carbs in it, and he just goes crazy on the stuff. And then he can't sleep at night. And I said, Juan, it's got stimulants in it. You don't have the non-stim formula. When I can get you the non-stim formula, you can do that, toward the evening. But you don't want to be taking tons of caffeine right before you go to bed. The unfortunate part is I'm still waiting for my order to come in, and we actually pre-sold the whole first order. So I think the people are going to like that product a lot. It's well researched. It doesn't have 6,000 ingredients in it. I just put the ingredients in there that work. The ones that buffer lactic acid, that help you focus in the gym and give you that nitric oxide pump, and that's what you want on a pre-workout. So anyway, that's my commercial for the day. Let's get back to Bros vs. Pros, because Tony Freeman came into town, and he was a very good sport, because I'm going to tell you, Chris, he wound up sitting on a plane. Well, he actually sat on the runway in St. Louis because it was raining for almost 4 hours. So he landed, and he couldn't get off the fucking plane because they won't let you walk 3 inches from the plane to the gate. If it's raining out, believe it or not. I don't know why.
Are you serious? Yeah. You slip falls.
I don't know what the problem was. He couldn't get off the plane.
I just had to pay out a slip fall of somebody, by the way, on an apartment. Someone said they slipped and broke their thumb.
On your one of your apartments?
Yeah, and my insurance company said settle. There's no snow. We went over and documented it.
The whole winter there was no snow.
Settle. So of course so it makes sense. When you're sitting on a plane, they won't let you walk out.
Yeah, because someone will sue. You're right.
Potentially, I see. Yeah. They'll just pretend and they'll sue, and the insurance company for the airline will say settle.
Yeah. No, it's true. People are sue happy. They that's why the insurance rates are so high, because everyone sues for the stupidest things.
So he was stuck on the plane.
So he was stuck on the plane. He missed the whole night show on Saturday. Luckily, we got him in, early enough to get a good night's sleep. And he got up and he came to the Bros vs. Pros. And everyone thought, they were going to do 50, 60 reps with 225 pounds on the bench. That's, believe me, the numbers that people put up on the boards and brag about is unbelievable compared to what actually they can do in the gym. Now, I don't know if people just get stage fright or they get too much adrenaline going and then they burn themselves out too fast. Because if you have too much adrenaline pumping and you're not relaxed, you could certainly burn yourself out way before your time.
Absolutely.
So, when all was said and done, Chris, only 41 reps won with 225 on the bench. And it was not the X-Man Tony Freeman, okay? It was Chris Janik won the event. And I have to tell you, this kid is one big kid. He is phenomenal. He's from Granite City, Illinois. He came all the way in from Chicago. He was 300 pounds, this kid, 34 years of age. And he really impressed the hell out of me. No one even, well, the one guy did 38, but 40, to give you an idea, most guys died at 24 reps. 24, 25 seems to be the point where people just fag out because it's a lack of oxygen or too much lactic acid buildup. And that's where 90% of the guys who got to and stopped. Now, most guys didn't even get that far, but the guys who were going pretty good with a good pretty good pace, that's where they died. This guy just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. He even rested the bar on his chest, which you're allowed to do, because it's really not a big resting spot. Most guys get crushed with that, you know, if they're resting. And he repositioned, and he did a couple more, and he did it again, and he did it again. And this kid won the event, and he won $2,000 for himself. He's a true bro, true gym bro. No one knew who he was, came out of nowhere, and really made the whole event a huge success. Now, he was challenged by one other guy, Tyler Garmuth from Paragould, Arkansas. So here's another guy coming from out of state, 25 years of age, 270 pounds, another big guy, did 38 reps. Now, in defense of Tyler went before Chris did, so he didn't know how many he had to do. Chris knew he had to beat that 38 mark, and he did, and he beat the X-Man. Now, I'm sure a lot of people saying, how many reps did the X-Man do? Now, I really thought that, you know, he told me he had been practicing, and he was going to crank out a good amount of reps, and he only did 14, which, you know, Tony hasn't really been bench pressing because, you know, he had that pec tear many years ago, and but he was a slight disappointment. Although the crowd loved him, he was posing, he was taking pictures with people there, he was decked out in a great outfit as he always is, and he made the event very.
14 reps. Yeah. I'm starting to doubt if he really weighs 286 3 weeks
ago. You know what I made
he's
him?
He's only 220.
We did. I made him just because he didn't do a lot of reps. I made him do the girls' event was three events. It was a three event medley. And they had to do pull-ups first, then they had to do deadlifts with their body weight, and then they had to do curls with half their body weight. And I'm going to get to how that went in a second. Very grueling. So I made Tony do deadlifts with his body weight to see how many he could do. And he actually got 30 out. He wouldn't have beat the girls.
Wow.
But
that's good.
He did get 30. So that's pretty impressive.
What's his body weight right now?
About 280.
Yeah, it's big.
Yeah. I think he's actually 300, but I gave him 280, so he was only had to do 280 on the deadlift. So all those videos will be edited by Pete the intern probably in the next week or so, and we'll start putting those up, you know, probably when stuff gets a little slower, and you guys will get to see Tony, you know, get his ass kicked by the bros. So the bros emerged victorious in both events, because in the women's event, our RX girl editor-in-chief, Gail Auerbach, defeated the field of women and claimed the $1,000 first prize. Now, to give you an idea of how tough this was, you know, they had to do pull-ups first, Chris. Then they had to do the deadlift. I told you with their body weight. And then they had to do, they had to do pull-ups first, then the deadlift, and then curls with half their body weight. Now, after two events were done, okay, the IFBB Pro, who was defending the IFBB Pro honor, that was Candace Keene. Okay, imagine that. You know, Candace keeps, that name just keeps popping up and popping up.
I know, huh? She's everywhere.
Yeah, she was great. We love her. She's one of my species athletes, and like I said, I think she should have won the Arnold. I really do, and I think that she's going to do great at the Olympic. But she said, look, you know, I'll do the event. I don't really do a lot of pull-ups. I never do pull-ups. She doesn't, you know, most of these figure girls don't curl a lot of weight, so they have a little bit of a disadvantage. She did, I think, 8 or 10 pull-ups, which was, I thought was great. You know, now the winning total was 14 pull-ups, which Gail Auerbach tied with two other girls. So going into the second event, Candace was in fourth place. Candace won the deadlift. She did more deadlifts than any other person out there, which was amazing, you know, because you would think the bodybuilder, Gail Auerbach or Angela Pearson, who was another bodybuilder in the lineup, would win the deadlift. But Candace actually won the deadlift. Not only did she win the deadlift, The winning total was 33. She went and did an extra 10. She did 43 reps with her body weight, okay, for deadlifts. And I was very, very impressed because you don't think of figure girls being able to do deadlifts. So
yeah, not just at all.
Going right? into the it last event. Yeah, going into the last event, Candace was in second place. Gail was in first place. Gail went and cranked out 49 reps with half her body weight for curls. And then it basically... Candace's fate rested in her own hands. And if she would have beat the total, she would have won. She did about 8 reps, okay, and she could not do another one. And it was... Now, with the thing with the curls is you can rest in the bottom position as long as you don't put the bar down. So I didn't know what she was doing because I figured here she is stuck at 9. She's got to do 50 reps. What the hell is she doing? She muscled her way through another 20-something reps. She got 29 or 30 reps total. I don't know how the hell she did it. People were cheering. Like, the excitement level in the place was unbelievable because here you thought she was done, and she kept just doing another one and another one. The set probably lasted 5 minutes long. And I didn't even know what to say because I didn't know if she... I said maybe she could even do it. But I think that Gail just put up a high number that was just too much for her to overcome. And you got to remember, Gail's a bodybuilder. So Gail trains her arms and does bicep curls, you know, once a week. So this was, you know, Gail really emerged as the champion here. She is now a Bros vs. Pros 10 X Factor champion, and that'll go down in the annals of RX Muscle history. So congratulations to Gail for her $1,000 prize, and Chris Janik, who has won the $2,000 Bros vs. Pros 10 bench press record. Hopefully, I'm hoping in the next event we can get, or the next second event, I want to get Derek Farnsworth in, because I think he would have loved this event. He would have eaten this thing up. I don't think anyone would have beaten him.
Well, what's the deal with Derek? He's always got a prior commitment, or
yeah, he's got a busy schedule. This guy, I didn't realize he's got so many appearances and stuff like that. So we're gonna make it happen. The next one, I promise you, we will do it.
What the next one is scheduled for to kick off when?
I think Bros vs. Pros 11 will be taking place at Derek Poundstone's gym in Connecticut. I'm trying to schedule it for the weekend of the Hartford show, since that's in Connecticut already, and we'll get you down there for that one, and we'll have you the whole weekend there to help me MC the event. And I think that's going to be exciting because Derek Poundstone is going to be going up against Mark Lurch, who's his nemesis in this deadlift challenge here that we held. And we're going to also get Mike Jenkins in, who just won the Arnold Strongman and beat Derek there by a very small margin. So that should be an exciting one. Then
that may be the best one ever.
It might be. And then we have later in the year, October 20th, we have the New Europa Phoenix show, where there's no bodybuilding going on. It's going to be Bros vs. Pros 12 there. They're going to feature Bros vs. Pros on the main stage there. We're going to be one of the feature events of that whole expo. And Ed Pariso is putting up some good prize money, and I'm really excited about that. He's getting behind this event, and that's going to be the premier event, I think, at the Europa Phoenix, the very first year they're going to have it there. So it could become a tradition, and I'm excited about that a lot. And I'm hoping Bros vs. Pros 13 might close out the year in Long Island. So we have a lot going on still, and these events just keep getting better and better. And this event could not have happened without Hydralyzed Ultra Water being our title sponsor. Jack Titone, thanks again. It was phenomenal. It was a very exciting weekend, and the West County Health and Fitness Center, my good friend Jared Ryung, it was a beautiful gym. He has a health and wellness center in there, a rejuvenation clinic. It's you know, it just doesn't even look like it belongs in St. Louis. It's absolutely breathtaking, this gym. They have a rock climbing wall in it, and I had even though I was exhausted, I had a great time, Chris.
Well, you don't sound exhausted, so that means you did have a great time.
I did. I'm on fumes. I'm on fumes. All my dreams all weekend. Fumes. All weekend long, I was being chased. I was in jail in one dream.
You're eating cacao bars. That's what it is.
Maybe I was having cacao hallucinations. It's possible with all the mushroom extracts in there. Maybe. Oh, you know what? It was funny. I was having a lot of anxiety dreams. I don't know why. One night I was in jail, and I was being interrogated by the people in jail for stealing fruit or something like that from the kitchen. And you know who the COs were in the jail? They were the NPC judges, believe it or not. They were interrogating me.
Are you anyone by name?
Sandy Rinaldi was, I think, the head corrections officer there, or she was like the warden or something like that. So,
yeah, maybe having flashbacks from one of the USAs that you almost won.
I don't know what it was.
It's all coming to, you know, one big are you all the events of the last 10, 12 years are just coming into one big anxiety-filled week-long of dreams.
Then last night I was dreaming about, I slept for an hour last night. I was dreaming of that I was being chased in a hospital. There was a bunch of guys, they were after me in a hospital, and I had to escape from this hospital and get out of there. Now, I don't know if the hospital was really a mental ward I was in or not, but that to be determined. But I was being chased it seemed like the whole night, which I wasn't sleeping that long, like I said, but it was a very long chase scene. Luckily, I didn't get caught in the dream, but it was a long weekend of dreams, that's for certain. So it never felt like I rested, not one minute.
Well, what's next on your, besides a typical busy, crazy week, on your travel schedule?
I am off for the week, thank God. And then the week after that, we have the Steve Weinberger's New York Metropolitan is going to be taking place, and we're going to be covering the Ronnie Coleman out in Texas, and there's a couple other shows that we're covering as well. Dave Lieberman's All Natural Show, Ohio, is the same weekend. We got a lot of stuff coming up that weekend, and then obviously I got another week off, and then we go to California for John Lindsay's Pro Women's Physique and Men's Physique and the Superstar Seminar with me, myself, Scott Connolly, Vince Andrich. We're going to be holding that at halftime at John Lindsay's show. So that's going to be an exciting weekend, followed up by the weekend after at the 30th anniversary of the Emerald Cup. Washington, Brad and Elaine Craig are bringing me in for that. Mm-hmm. We'll follow that up with the Orlando Europa show down in Orlando, Florida. And then the following weekend is the NPC Pittsburgh. And then that will kick off the beginning of May. And then, I don't know, aren't we supposed to go to Brazil, you and I, at some point?
We're supposed to go to Brazil, you and I think twice, and yet we don't have tickets once.
I haven't heard anything. Yeah, I haven't heard anything.
You know what's going to happen? It's going to be like a last minute, you got to come, and your schedule, my schedule are going to be too full.
Exactly. So I hope they book the trip, because I would like to go to, it's busy, but I would like to go because I think it's going to be fun over there.
And
I
have a lot of
I don't know, you know, if you talk about synchronicity and things happening for the right reason at the right time, but There's a guy in Brazil called John of God. And if you go to YouTube and you Google this, or not Google him, but YouTube him, John of God, he does these spiritual faith healings in Brazil. He actually cured Wayne Dyer, who, you know, is a very, I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, I know Wayne Dyer well. I don't know him well.
He had like leukemia or lymphoma or something like that. And this guy cured him like remotely using some kind of spiritual healing. You got to see it. It's pretty amazing. He cures people. He does surgery without anesthesia. He pulls stuff out of your body without using any kind of knives or scalpels or anything like that. It's bizarre. So I always wanted to go down there and see this guy in action. He has a clinic down there that he actually does this healing right there. People go in sick, they leave fucking cured. And mm-hmm. Wayne Dyer talks about, if you Google Wayne, YouTube Wayne Dyer and John of God, you can hear him talking about how this guy
healed him. Yeah, I thought Wayne Dyer was still sick.
No, he's healed. He's healed of his cancer, as far as I know. And he wrote a whole book called Wishes Fulfilled based on that. I just started reading it. It just came out. And that's people always ask me what I'm reading. Wishes Fulfilled. You can get it on Amazon.com. That's Wayne Dyer's newest book about how to fulfill your wishes in life, and how it's all a matter of, you know, the way you think.
Intention. Wayne Dyer.
Yeah. That's exactly it. Yeah.
It all starts with the intention.
Of course. What you think about is what you get, whether you want it or not, Chris. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, whether it's negative or positive.
Yeah. So you might as well change the way you think. So even though I had a busy weekend and I'm aggravated and things didn't go as well, I'm always smiling, if you notice, because my thoughts will dictate my outcome. And that's the bottom line, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, it is. Even when your dogs are rebelling against you. I heard they're rebelling today.
They peed on the floor. I think they're mad that I was gone the whole weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
They peed right by my foot.
I heard they dumped a load in your photo album, the dogs.
No, that was someone else who did that.
Okay. I don't know. I hear through the RX muscle.
Yeah, through the grapevine.
Jeff. I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, transits in that area. That's Jeff, right. The producer, right. Pete, the intern. They're all spying on you a little bit.
Well, I know Aaron wants to talk about his whole trip to Australia, but I don't think he's going to make it in time. So we're going to take a commercial break here. I got Michael Liberatore waiting on the line because he's going to talk to me a little bit about St. Louis and what went on stage there when we come back. And then we're going to wrap things up. Next week, we will have the regular crew back with all the regular segments, and we have a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about some new science, Chris, that's really forging its way to the forefront of bodybuilding and then the health industry. I have a lot of good topics to talk about. I know people like it when we talk about new things. I got some new products for sale on the site for health and longevity purposes. And there's so much to talk about. We could do a show if we had to.
We could. We missed. We still haven't talked about. We'll do it next week about the Trump show. Because Louis's on it.
Louis Ferrigno almost was kicked off last week. I saw that, and I was saying I felt bad for him. They all jumped on top of Louis, and they were trying to make it seem like Louis was the incompetent and that he, you know, should be gotten rid of. And you probably have a better grasp on it. I only saw the end of the show. You saw the beginning. I didn't even know it was Michael Andretti who was the guy who got fired that day.
Yeah, Michael Andretti got canned, but I think it was Louis's team wanted to can him because they felt that he was the weakest link to the team. But Trump trumped that because he said that, you know, you guys, listen, say what you want about Louis, you want to can him. This is, in this endeavor, they had to promote Chevrolet. And Trump's comment was, what better way to sell Chevrolet than really, really aggressively put out front the Andretti name? And I think, like Trump figures, you know, just like me, I'm the building guy. If you're going to sell a building, you put my name on it. If you're going to sell, you know, cars or the dream or the feel of a car, you associate strongly a brand. So you should link it up to Andretti. So because Andretti didn't step forward himself and say, you know what, this is my domain, you know, I'm going to be the feature here. Trump, instead of canning Louis, canned Andretti. That brought us to this week where Louis stepped up and said, okay, I'm going to be project manager. And they ended up winning. And
really?
The good thing about, yes, they won. Louis's team won last night. And Louis had it in a gang with Penn, who I don't like.
Yeah, what did he say to him? I didn't see the show because I was obviously traveling. What did you say to Penn?
He said, Penn is like a caged bull, and he's condescending to people, and he's kind of like an egomaniac, which is true. You know, he thinks he's smarter than, you know, he does the mind games in Vegas. So, you know, if he can do mind games, then he must think that he's smarter than the average cat. Yeah. And that's how he comes across sometimes in the show. So to back up Louis, you know, was strongly backed him up was Clay Aiken, the singer who won, you know, American Idol.
Yeah, the gay guy.
And he had it out with during the show, during some of the show with Penn. So they didn't gang up on Penn, but they showed that although Penn brings lots of strengths, if you don't do it his way, you know, he kind of disengages from a team effort.
Gotcha.
And it's all about the team. So he was really the weakest link. Had Louis lost yesterday as project manager, he wouldn't have been fired. They would have probably canned Penn. So we'll see what happens going forward.
Well, I'm excited. I like the show. I got to catch the one episode I missed here, but
You got to see it because Louis, like in the boardroom, Louis is always like center of attention, whether it be positive or negative. At least with the men's team,
he's got a lot of charisma, Louis, and that's the bottom line. And I think that's why he's going to be successful. I'm rooting for Louis. I don't know how far he goes, but I'm rooting that he goes all the way. He might, you know, he didn't. He kind of gave me the wink that he did well, but I don't know how he did. You know, we'll have to find out by keep watching the episodes. Chris, we're going to go to commercial break. When we come back, Michael Liberatore.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio only on RXMuscle.com.
From bikini to bodybuilding, CJ's Elite Custom Competition Suits is where the pros go. Founder and creator Cynthia James, known to the physique world as CJ, has been customizing suits for over 20 years. With a unique combo of style, fit, and bling, CJ is the official suit creator for Mr. Olympia Jay Cutler. And being an IFBB Pro official and NPC judge, CJ knows what it takes to present the perfect package on stage. CJ personally manufactures every suit she creates using only the highest quality Austrian-made Swarovski first-cut crystals for an unmatched stage presence. CJ's Elite Custom Suits, no two designs are ever alike. Check out all of CJ's suits at cynthia-james.com, where you'll also find our latest bikini division suit innovations. CJ's Elite Custom Suits are what the pros wear. Jay Cutler, Tanji Johnson, Ava Cowan, Phil Heath, Dexter Jackson, Trish Warren, and many more all know that CJ's Elite is the only way to go when it comes to top quality and innovative suits that fit every time. What are you waiting for? Visit cynthia-james.com right now and check out the new men's physique division creations as well. CJ's Elite Custom Suits. It's where the pros go.
Hydrolyze Ultra, the leader in cellular hydration water. Hydrolyze Ultra. Ultra Water has been designed by shrinking and reshaping molecules to allow a faster and more sustained delivery into your cells. Our cellular water has gone through a magnetism and laser treatment process, along with adding electrolytes to our special ingredients. This allows all nutrients to be absorbed at a maximum cellular state. By using Hydrolyze Ultra, all nutrients, supplements, and carbohydrates you consume will be absorbed at a greater rate. Lactic acid gets flushed faster, and you'll feel fully hydrated. Get the advantage that top athletes have achieved. Try Hydrolyze Ultra today. Visit HydrolyzeUltra.com. That's HydrolyzeUltra.com.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements on the market. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling pro-anabolics. Methadrol Extreme, Super DMZ RX, Cytostain RX, and E-Control RX with 6OXO. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit IronMagLabs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
Who are the Iron Sirens? The heroes. Susie Curry. Adela Garcia. Jenny Lynn. Crystal Richardson. Who are the Dark Divas? Gina Aliotti as Diva X. Jen Gates as Shade. Liza Kamstra as Black Lotus. Sonia Gonzalez as Raptress. And their story is told only in Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens is a one-of-a-kind limited edition comic book series and is the brainchild of J.M. Mannion. Order your copy of Iron Sirens today before they're gone. Visit IronSirensComics.com. That's IronSirensComics.com to get your copy of Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. Iron Sirens. RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up to the minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Welcome back to Heavy Muscle Radio. I'm Dave Palumbo on the line now with Mike Liberatore, IFBB Pro, who was present this past weekend at the St. Louis Pro Show and the Bros vs. Pros. Mike, you are my right-hand man there. Help me with all the wrap-ups. You watched all the festivities. What did you think of the St. Louis Pro Show this past weekend?
Well, man, I got to say there was a great turnout. And, you know, that's really big for the competitors, because a lot of times you go to shows and you're just like, it's 300-400 people there, and you know, it doesn't pop. And, you know, whatever Jack's doing to get him in the door, I think he had like 1,300-1,400 people, and it's nice that they have, you know, some vendors in there and everybody's all in one room.
Yeah, but, I like that.
You know, definitely, you know, A plus across the board on everything, and that's what you want. I mean, he said St. Louis, you know, people come out for that stuff and support the people. And with our sports, you know, it's you know, definitely not mainstream. So anytime you're at a place and you can get that kind of a turnout and support from the family and friends and even the community is great.
I have to happen to agree. I like the fact when they hold these shows all in one big ballroom where they can put the booths there. So if you want to go to the back of the auditorium and you want to visit the booths, which there were 26 of them, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
At a show that's not of a mega proportion. Although, from what I hear now, next year he's holding it and he wants to hold this thing in an arena, like a huge arena, and do over 2 days, and I think he wants to combine the Bros versus Pros with the St. Louis Pro and with the amateur event, so it's going to be like a whole, almost like a Ben and Eddie Pariso type of affair.
Yeah, I mean, Jack definitely always has, you know, big visions for everything, so I don't doubt it, you know, it's just, the first year, every time it goes, it gets better and better, and he said he's taking the money and putting it back in the show, so it's not like he just, you know, going there and saying, look at all the money I made. He's trying to bring it back and make it better each time. So it's a great thing.
He was throwing around a little money on Sunday because he was in a good mood. He actually bet Brian Hildebrand, our RX muscle strength editor-in-chief, that he couldn't do one pull-up, and Brian actually won that bet and won $100.
Yeah, so there's $100. You know, Brian's a big man, but he's strong regardless. I think I would have never bet him $100 for one pull-up.
Maybe two pull-ups, but not one. I don't know if he could have done two. He should have gone with two. That would have been a better bet.
I didn't see it. How clean was it?
He actually made him do it, and then he said he didn't do it right, so he actually did it like two or three times, so they were pretty clean, you know. For a big guy, I don't know if I could have gotten myself over the bar with my bad shoulder, so I got to take it.
Not with your shoulders.
No.
Hey, when you were like 310 or whatever back in the day, you could have done it.
I don't know. I would have done one. I probably could have done a couple of them. The truth of the matter is, even I could do almost anything for money. I probably could have done a few pull-ups I could have done one-handed pull-ups probably for $100, so... It's amazing what money does to motivate you, you know?
Well, I think, you know, Jack kind of bailed on his second bet. He bet Candace that she couldn't do three pull-ups, and I think she ended up doing seven. And he said, no, like, you had to be the highest or something like that. You had to do 15. I was like, that's a bunch of crap. You know, he didn't say
that. Yeah, he changed it. He was changing his bet. He wasn't winning very many bets the whole weekend, actually, but
yeah.
of the people who were winning the bets, so...
Exactly.
Everyone made out.
That was not his weekend for gambling.
Well, let's talk about the show. Okay, we had three events, or three pro events, I should say, in addition to the NPC Midwest Championships. The three pro events obviously being the fitness, the pro bikini, and then you had your pro women's physique, which to me was originally the most enticing of the events because I like this new women's physique division. I want to see where it's evolving to. And, to me, it was a little bit of a letdown. I thought the competition level was not quite what it was at the Desert Muscle Classic in Phoenix, and I still don't think it's at the level where everyone's really super excited, but I think we're excited about the prospect of it. We haven't really seen anyone emerge as a very dominant winner. What'd you think of Sarah Hurley, who won, and Michelle Blank, who finished in second?
Both were great. Sarah looked good on stage. She has very nice proportion and shape. I think, you know, if she had to maybe do a little bit more, I mean, she's a figure competitor, so I think, you know, maybe a little bit more thickness on her back. Not a lot, but just a little bit to come in a little drier. But, I mean, girls, they look good, but I'm still, we talk about in the wrap-up, I'm still a little lost as far as what they're going for, and, you know, the hardness that they're looking for, position, and the size, because I just really want to see some beautiful physique. We're still muscly, or somewhat muscly, less than bodybuilding and more than figure, with, you know, some conditioning and separation. So, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why it's kind of like, it's been anticipated, but the people don't know what they're supposed to be looking for.
Let me throw a name out at you, okay? Seventh place finisher, Antoinette, or Toni Thompson, as she's known. She's been a professional bodybuilder for a number of years. Always one of the smaller ones. Never really worried about trying to keep up with the Joneses. Just did her thing. Very beautiful girl. I thought, you know, when I looked at her, I said, this is women's physique to me. I don't think that she was extreme. I don't think she was extremely hard. Matter of fact, I would have liked to have seen her a little tighter. What do you think the judges didn't like about her?
It's, you know, I think probably just because she is maybe a little bigger. I don't know. I mean, I thought she looked great too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talked with Lee, and he gave you kind of the gist of what they were looking for. And, you know, we also touched upon you have to judge what's put in front of you. So, you know, it's so hard to really think, you know, what they're looking for, because, you know, the first show last year when Dana was dealing one, you know, here's a girl who's, you know, got great abs, you know, is pretty hard. She comes back, you know, this year and they added some size to her. And I think most people thought she was going to walk with the first show. And she found herself, I think, what did she finish, fourth?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think most people thought she was the standard.
Yeah.
And the fact that the standard came in and took fourth, you know, I think that threw a lot of people. So I think at this point in time, nobody really knows you know, who's going to win. I mean, you can put the winner from the Desert Muscle Classic and
Karina Nascimento.
Yeah, Karina Nascimento with Hurley, and those girls can compete against somebody else, and they can both lose. You know, so it's like you don't know from the next show who they're going to pick. And that's, I think, when you don't know, it's hard to really anticipate something, you know?
I liked Michelle Blank, who was second place, a lot. I like her physique a lot, although I thought she was way too soft. And the reason she was too soft is because she wasn't even planning on competing that weekend. She was planning on competing in Orlando.
She stopped dieting, didn't she?
She had an injury, too. So, and then Sarah Hurley, I think, decided a week before. So I don't know if she was, you know, she thought she was going to be doing figure. I thought both of them were way too soft. I understand that Lee Thompson explained that he was basically judging what was up there. There really wasn't that much other to pick from. I actually liked Marina Lopez's physique, but you know, once again, she's still maybe a little too big. I thought also Tony Thompson really got a raw deal. I thought she should have been no worse than third here. I don't know if I would have had her winning, but I would have had her definitely top three. I think that they're afraid to reward bodybuilders in this division because they're afraid it's going to scare away the other girls, but I don't think that necessarily is the case because I don't think that anyone can look at Tony Thompson's physique and be intimidated by it. So I don't know. I think there's going to be some meetings about this. There's going to be another pro show, I think, this coming up next week. John Lindsay's got a show coming up in it's not John Lindsay's show, excuse me. It's the California Governor's Cup. That's on March 24th. That's in Sacramento, California. That's going to be another. I think there's a figure event there, and I think there's a women's physique event there as well.
Do we know when Sarah plans to compete again?
Sarah will compete at this show, this women's physique show at the Governor's Cup in Sacramento. There's also a men's physique show, and there's going to be a pro figure event.
So. Well, it should be interesting with Sarah to see how she does now that she's won a show, if that will give her any sort of leeway with the judges.
Yeah.
The fact that, hey, you know, she could walk in there with her head kind of high and say, you know, I've won. I'm one of two girls right now. So see if she can keep the ball rolling. And, you know, if she wins again, then you start getting a little bit of what they might be looking for. And she's an attractive girl and looks good, you know. So I think that's part of it, having the balance between the physique and still staying, you know, feminine. When they say stay feminine, they really look at, I think, for the woman to be pretty still. Not that, you know, female bodybuilders aren't, but, you know, from a lot of dieting and things, you know, they get a little bit more drawn in the face. So I think they still want the faces not to be so drawn, to be a little fuller, you know, a little softer. So it should be interesting to see how she does.
I would like to see her coming in a lot tighter. If I was helping her, I would be having her through 3 hours of cardio a day for the next 4 days, because I think that she got to get that glutes and hamstrings a little tighter. I mean, you got to have some. There's got to be some detail there. I'm not talking striations. I'm talking detail.
Right.
And to me, there was not
a
much
clear separation from muscle groups, where especially when you say glutes, hams, you should see the flow between the muscle groups when they come together.
To me, she was an out of shape figure competitor on stage with more muscle than the other girls and with a little bit better shape. And that's why she won. So, you know, it's an evolving class, and I think it's going to take another year before we really meet it out. I think you and I used the idea or the business model, so to speak, of the bikini division. It took them a while to kind of get that right, and I don't even know if they got it right yet. They're still philandering a little bit. Let's talk about the bikini division. Jennifer Andrews reclaims her crown that she won last year, so she is a two-time champion here. She tightened up quite a bit from what we experienced later in the year, because I guess they told her she was too hard. She wins the St. Louis show, they tell her she's too hard. Meanwhile, she won. She softens up. Yeah. She does terrible after that, and then she gets tight again, and she's back in the winner's circle. So I guess she found out what worked for her physique, and the judges seemed to like it. And she got almost unanimous first place votes there. She was followed up in second by Jennifer Chapman, who's been on the rise. She won the nationals in her weight class. She was fourth, I believe, at the Masters Pro Bikini Championships, and then she placed third at the Desert Muscle Championships there, and now she's up in that second place spot. So she's on the rise, And yeah, I think the two of them really had a lock on that 1 and 2 spot. Which one did you like better, and did you think that they both deserved to be in those that first and second place slot?
Well, I have to be biased for one reason, because of who I live with. But I mean, even between, with Christina, I had her winning easily, and that's not trying to be her boyfriend. I'm just talking about...
You're talking about Christina Voynich, your living girlfriend there, and the co-host of Muscle Girls Inc. and Access Bodybuilding, and she was looking spectacular, I might add. She wound up finishing in fifth. What was she told? Did she talk to any judges?
No, I know she talked with Maz a little bit, and what was he saying? He had some good things to say. He said she looked great. I don't think she didn't say anything about hair.
My critique was that I thought she should put some hair extensions in, because she does have a long torso, and she's one of the taller competitors, and sometimes, if she was a runway model, it would probably look great, but maybe, she had to balance her symmetry off a little bit,
He said that the one thing is, you don't see bikini competitors really looking any different, okay? Mm-hmm. They come in from show to show, and they pretty much look the same.
Yeah.
That's because they don't, it's a style of training. We both know that most of them do a lot of cardio, don't really lift weights. Mm-hmm. So they end up, over dieting and just doing a bunch of cardio. Christina obviously doesn't do that. She lifts weights and she wanted to look different, like a bodybuilder, and say, hey, look, I've improved. I can change my physique. I can manipulate the way I look better than anybody. So let's try coming in a little bit harder. And Maz said, you look great, you're perfect, everything. He's like, but when you come in a little harder, he's like, you lose a little of that shape or the roundness. I mean, Christina does have curves for being so tall.
Yeah.
Her waist, I think, is 23 and a half or 24.
Yeah, she had a tiny waist.
And her hips are like 37. So to say that she doesn't have curves is not true. But Maz is right saying that, if you're a little bit softer or bigger, maybe even bigger as far as muscle wise, then you'll get a little bit more of that flow, and it won't, it won't be so straight up and down. And that was his only critique. He's like, you look great, and it's just, maybe soften up just a touch. But when she did Iowa, I told her that she had to lose 7 pounds, and Maz was kind of like, well, where'd they get that number from? He's like, I don't see it. You don't have to lose weight. So, but besides that, with Jennifer Andrews and Jen Chapman, I kind of liked Jen Chapman a little bit better, because
what'd you like about
she was hard for first place and second place.
Mm-hmm. Why did you like Jennifer Chapman better?
She was harder.
Okay.
She was in better shape to me. I thought that Jennifer Andrews still was soft and needs more in the legs. When I look at her legs, she needs... There's not too much underneath there. I mean, she does have great shape and she does have great stage presence, but I think for bikini, it comes down to your legs, butt, and of course, just your presentation and hair and makeup. So, I mean, they can't really be muscly up top or have cat shoulders or too much of their abs, but, a nice set of legs and a great butt, I think, is what is needed. And, Jen Chapman definitely was harder. And I like that a little bit better, but that's just my preference.
Okay. That's a duly noted. Taylor Matheny from Sand Springs, Oklahoma, was a third. And you and I talked about her. She seems very young, and I think that if she refines a little bit, maybe the hair and makeup. She looked a little, makeup was a little muddy on her face. Yeah. And if she can refine that, she could be a champion moving forward. They seem to like her. She's got the nice blonde hair that stands out, cute. And what would you like to see her change?
I just think her presentation. The girls that are that have been around a little bit longer, and I'm not even saying that look older, but I'm just saying that have a little bit more life experience or whatever, I think a little better, a little bit more confident on stage. And to me, that's more attractive. With her, she kind of plays to her age or plays like she's younger. And to me, on that, on a professional stage, it's a little bit too bubblegum lollipop for me.
Gotcha.
She does have a good physique and, deserving to be, in those spots or to be up there in the call out. But to me, it's like she could be a little bit more confident and not have to play to, you know, the blonde hair and the pink suit and the things like that, you know, which still look good, but I just feel that she could probably act a little bit more confident on stage and the way she carries herself.
Mm, duly noted on that one. Michelle Brannan from the United Kingdom finishes in fourth. I was taken by her. I thought she's got serious good potential. Tan could have been a little better, maybe a little better makeup on the face, but beautiful girl, great shape, and I predict that she will probably do some good things in the future. I think that she's got the makings of a very good bikini competitor.
No, I agree. I thought she looked great. There's some stuff on online about her, so she got a little bit of press coming into the show. Looks like, I know Christina, when we were looking through the line, she showed us some pictures of her, and, you know, we thought that she looked good. It's difficult coming from overseas, you know, you're not maybe as informed of the tanning and where to go and such, you know, it's difficult. So, you know, unless she has a little bit of help here, some connections here, and I'm sure she'll get used to it more because this is her first pro show, she's going to keep getting better, and I think this is definitely a good showing for her.
I agree 100% on that one as well. Let's talk about the pro fitness event where it was a two-woman Bethany Sister Nino versus Oksana Grishina. Oksana wins her very first pro fitness event. A lot of people don't realize that, but she's been in the sport for almost 8 years or six to eight years as a pro, at least. She's been a rhythmic gymnast in Russia for over 10 years, 15 years, something like that.
And you could definitely tell that.
Yeah, she's got a phenomenal routine. The interesting thing, as I'm looking at the scorecard here, Mike, you and I predicted exactly right. Bethany Sister Nino actually won with straight unanimous first place votes at the prejudging, which is basically 25% of their score is the physique round. Bethany won the physique round. I think they thought Oksana was probably a little too hard, that counted down on against her a little bit. Moving into the final round, however, Oksana's routine just kind of blew everyone away. She got first place on that, or pretty close to it as well, and kind of sealed the deal there at night. And obviously the night show routine round being 75% of her score really put her into that position to take home that first place prize. Was she the deserving winner?
With those percentages, yes. I agree with Bethany that Bethany definitely had the best shape and physique on stage. But then in the evening, Oksana, her routine was, you know, amazing. It's tremendous. And we both thought, you know, wow, you know, how do you really get much better than that? It is, you know, entertaining and everything. So with the percentages being that way, then yes, I see Oksana winning. Do you know what... In the past, it used to be 50-50, or haven't they played around?
Yeah, it used to be 50-50. They changed it because they want to reward the fitness girls who can do routines rather than... In other words, they don't want another physique. They want really a division that has some physique, you know, rewards, but that has more of a routine reward. And I think that's a good idea. I think it's very good because I think Oksana is so entertaining. And you know what the truth is? And I'm going to put this on the line. I didn't think this was her best routine. Not even close to one of her best routines. It was an entertaining routine, and she's so energized on stage that she just sucks you in. But not one of her best routines. So I think that, you know, come Olympia time, she puts together a phenomenal routine. I think that she could challenge Adela Garcia. As dominant as Adela is, I don't think that Adela could touch her on the routine. I really don't. I don't know how Adela wins the routine round with Oksana in the lineup, to be honest with you.
No, I agree. And I mean, even in the past, you know, when Jen Hendershot has won here and there and is challenging a lot, you know, for the title, that if she would have been rewarded with 75% of her routine, I think Jen would have won a lot more.
Yeah, I agree.
Because her routines were, you know, nonstop energy. It's just, I mean, that woman does not stop. So in the past, you figure if there would have been 75-25, you know, Jen could have had more victories. But I agree with you at the Olympia. Oksana, I mean, how old is she? Do we know how old she is?
I think she's maybe 30 or something like that. She's not yet. She's not old.
If she's not that old, then she's definitely going to probably be the new champion, or definitely
eventually
challenge Adela. Adela, you know, of course, I think has a better shape or physique. But that being said, if Oksana really, you know, you know, pulls it all out and puts everything on the line. Her routine is, I think she can beat her. So it should be a great show at the Olympia.
Now, Oksana's physique was so conditioned that I actually thought that she probably could have won the women's physique division too. She was probably harder than way. She definitely was way harder than those girls.
Way, without a doubt harder. And to me, that's what it should be.
I think so too.
There's nothing wrong with that. She still looked feminine. She still looked attractive. There was nothing wrong. You're talking about being a professional, you know, competitor in the IFBB. You know, that's a fitness industry founded on bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And to me, the separation and the conditioning shows her commitment and also shows, you know, that she's genetically gifted because not everybody on stage could look like that. And to me, that's what they should be rewarding, because she is just, you know, she's gifted the same way Bethany is gifted with her physique, and Bethany's condition was right there. I mean, Bethany was harder than any of the I mean, it's, to me, that's physique, figure, any of them, as long as you're not too big for that division, I would like to see condition.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what? The funny thing is that I talked to Bethany when I was interviewing her about her routine, and I thought her routine was better. It had more entertainment value than it normally did. She did something like a little takeoff on Footloose. But the problem with Bethany is that she seems to run out of steam a little bit, even though her moves are incredible. I mean, she's so technically perfect on stage.
Yeah.
And I recommended to her, I said, you know, why don't you just cut your routine down in length? Because some of these girls just can't go the 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes.
Sure.
It's too, they get tired. So her answer to me was an interesting one. It was actually could be valid. She said that they have to do a certain amount of required moves, and it's hard to get all those moves in anything under 2.5 minutes. So if that's the case, I think that she's going to have to just work on her conditioning level, because Oksana looks like she never tires. From the minute she starts to the minute she ends, the energy is just absolutely intoxicating. And that was the same thing, like you said, with Hendershot, the same thing with Kelly Ryan back in the day. And Bethany's going to have to bring that level of energy into her routine if she's going to want to win the Fitness Olympia title.
Yeah, I think what she needs to find is she needs to find time or a filler time where she's still performing, but she's also getting that air that she needs and getting some of that energy back. I mean, Oksana's nonstop, but there's spots in that routine that are specifically designed
for breathing,
for her to breathe and to get ready to perform your next move. I mean, just if you watch a figure skater, you know, they do some of the jumps and then the routine doesn't slow down, but it allows them to put other pieces and things that they need to perform the rest of the routine. So I think that's the only thing she's missing. It's like, you know, if you watch Tansy Johnson, it's the same thing. Energy, 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 and it goes. But there's parts in her routine, whether it's her dancing or whether it's, you know, just walking around showing some attitude or something like that, she needs to find a little bit of that filler time where she can, you know, suck some air and then finish strong.
Well, I don't think we've disagreed one time. Once again, this was a great show. Jack will be back in St. Louis, I hear, weekend. That's 2 weeks before the Mr. Olympia contest for another show, or the 12th. I think it might be the 12th of September. He's going to be back
there. We'll probably be back for that, I think.
Yeah.
I was talking about. It's close for us, and it's hometown, so, you know, why not? You know, it's an easy show. I think when you're close, especially for bikini competitors, they should be able to compete, you know, all the time. And, you know, I'm definitely going to come back to another show that Jack's got, knowing that he gets that kind of draw.
Yeah, and I'll be there as well, so we'll get to reconvene in St. Louis. I had a good time. They had some good sushi restaurants there. I went to this one place, the Drunken Fish, which is a great name for a sushi restaurant. I kept thinking it was called the Rusty Nipple. I couldn't get the right name down, but I went there 4 times and I finally got it. The Drunken Fish, it was a great restaurant. I ate, like I said, they had some great rolls. I had a little too much sake last night, but other than that, I can't complain. And they had a great supermarket. They had like a Whole Foods like supermarket right across the street from the hotel. So everything you needed was right there. Jack researched the weekend perfectly, and I
great job. Hotel was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, great, not too far, but, you know, I had my car, so we were maybe 2 or 3 minute drive from the venue, and you know they have plenty of parking. You know, that parking garage is right across
that's
the street.
That's right.
So when it's that accessible, it always makes it easier for the competitors mm-hmm. because you just don't want to have to stress about anything.
Absolutely. Collect 100% and catch Christina Voynich, Girls Inc. tomorrow night. And do you know who she has on? Is she going to have a couple champions on?
I don't know yet. I think she talked to Jennifer Andrews at the show about having her on because she hasn't been on yet. Mm. But I'm not quite sure who she's going to have yet.
Well, I'd like to, hopefully she can get some Sarah Hurley on at some point. Maybe she'll have her on next week after the Governor's Cup in California, so.
Yeah, that might be good. I'll let her know that too, and I'm sure she's got you know a couple of the winners written down. Has some ideas of which direction the show's going to go. But with her and Diana, you know, it can go anywhere. Especially when Diana chimes in, it's always entertaining.
That's true. And don't forget, don't miss Mike Liberatore's guest posing routine as well as Kai Greene's guest posing routine, which is up on rxmuscle.com. And Mike, finally, you had a little mishap at the Bros vs. Pros. 10, you threw your hat into the ring, you got under the bench, you were going to try to go for all the marbles of $2,000, you had your headphones on, blasting in your ears, and unfortunately, and people will get to see this for themselves so on the replay when we put the video up, you banged out 59 reps, which would have been way more than you would have needed to win the event. However, there was a little question on the lockout, and you only got counted for 15 of them or something like that.
Yeah, you know, when people is like 15 or 16, it's easy, you know, don't try to be so upset. And, you know, after you get done doing something that's that intense, you know, and you basically go to failure, I mean, you're amped up. Your adrenaline's going. So, you know, yeah, I was a little upset, and it was my fault. I couldn't hear. I mean, in all honesty, I mean, the reps were close. If you want to knock me in a couple, that's fine. But if I would have really been paying attention or I would have known and could have fixed it in the beginning, for me to do 41 reps or 42 reps, compared to what I did with 59, I could have beaten that.
I think you could have. I was upset for you because I knew you had this in you. Yeah. I said this. Yeah. I said he has a 50 rep guy. You know, even if you did 45, you would have won easily, and you could have done the full reps.
Right. Yeah, I could have. I mean, if I still would have had enough in me if I would have extended another inch or two or whatever it is. The disappointing part was most of the people thought that the lifts were clean. So, I mean, and I'm not going to say, you know, I always saw something online. Oh, he's going to say he has short arms. Well, I guess my arms are long now because everybody says I had short arms. Now I'm going to go out on a limb and say my arms are normal length. And it was my fault.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're going to do another one, I think, at the the Europa Phoenix show, where we're going to do Bros versus Pros, will be one of the feature events. I think we're going to be doing some bench pressing this, and we'll have to get you back down there.
I want to do bench pressing, and then I want to do pull-ups.
Okay. Well, you can challenge the women in pull-ups. How many pull-ups can you do?
25 or 30.
Wow. All right. Maybe we'll have a pull-up contest to see who can do the most pull-ups.
That's what I'm saying. Because I want the big boys that can get under the bench and bench 700 pounds.
Yeah.
I want them to get up there and see how many pull-ups they can do. That's a real test of strength.
Pull-ups are tough. I got to be honest with you. It takes a very special talent to do pull-ups. So, and you're not light either. So that's impressive.
No. So let me see. If I can bang out 50 reps in a bench, 225, and do 25 pull-ups, let's see who can beat that.
I bet you Derek Farnsworth would give you a run for the money.
I wouldn't doubt it, but that would be a good.
All right, maybe we'll have a special celebrity event. Maybe you versus Farnsworth in that or something like that.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely a test of strength right there. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's definitely upper body. I mean, with the deadlift, with my herniated disc in my back, I definitely couldn't do the three lifts.
I want to talk about one more thing. A new interesting study came out, although I had talked about this in the past before, where they found that women are having orgasms at the gym. A new study has shown. Now, they're not having orgasms because they're trying to have orgasms. They're involuntary orgasms that they're having while they're exercising. Some people call them corgasms because they seem to be linked to exercises that target the abdominal training. Have you ever heard of any women that you've either spent time with or that were friends with that have reported having orgasms in the gym?
Nobody, you know, I've heard of this, but nobody has. My big question is that because these women's husband or boyfriends just, you know, don't get them as worked up as a workout?
I don't think so. I just think it's a physiology thing, the way their bodies are structured. A lot of them seem to be happen during abdominal exercise movements and any kind of core movements. That, and the funny thing is that according to the women that were interviewed, a lot of them are embarrassed by it because, you know, I could see if you were in the gym and you're like riding the bike and you're rubbing your, you know what, against the bike seat. If you're just exercising, doing a set of like leg lifts and all of a sudden you have an orgasm at it spontaneously, that's got to be kind of catch you by surprise, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, is after it happens, do they try to, you know, do it again or duplicate it? I mean, do we have repeat offenders? I mean, is this something that's going on? Because you figure if it happens once, they're going to, if they like it, which they should, and not feel too embarrassed about it, and no, they're not screaming and nobody knows they're happening, hey, that's, they're getting two for the price of one. They're getting their workout done and they're feeling good, you know?
That's right. So if you see a woman at the gym doing way too many abdominal exercises, you better be suspicious then.
Yeah, either that or I don't know if this is something that you can teach. If you could, I mean, that would be definitely a...
There you go.
A move or something.
Maybe Christina can start teaching corgasm classes at the gym.
Yeah, sure. We'll work on that right away.
That might be the most popular class she would in the gym. You'd probably have it would be packed out with guys sending their wives there to fucking take the classes, you know?
We'd be rich.
And, you know, you guys could do a video. You could do a videotape. We'll sell a DVD. Mike Liberatore and the Mike Liberatore and teaches corgasms at the gym. That would be bestseller.
Christina as the model.
yeah, she'd be the model. I would want you to be. You'd have to be the instruction person. You know.
If that was really possible, seriously, I mean. You know how much money you make? I talked with a gentleman when I had to go through a personal training class, and when he was out in L.A., he knew a woman that was doing, you know, personal training or group training, and she was a dominatrix.
Right.
And she was literally, you know, doing a group training class and beating, and they couldn't get enough. I mean, her class was booked solid all the time. I mean, that goes to show you, if there was a class that you could teach for these, you know, ab training or core training, and women would actually have an orgasm, you would have tons of women signing up because, let's face it, you know, there's plenty of women out there that, you know, probably aren't getting the attention from their husband or whoever, and this would be one way they could lose weight and feel good at the same time.
There you go, Mike. That's you. You might be your forte in the future. There, you and Christina could be the Dr. Ruth of the future in the health industry.
With all the friends that I have and the people that, you know, we've tried to help with relationship advice. I mean, I'm serious. I want to write a book. We need to write a book because, you know, Christina and I, things have always, you know, been pretty easy for us and good, and it's just because we're open and honest and we communicate. But we get so many friends, it's just like, oh my God, it's like a headache. Because, like, we need to, like, have a class or write a book or do something.
Yeah, you guys are pretty good. I got to hand it to you. You guys, I never see you guys arguing or anything like that. So
not too bad. And if we do, it's, you know, it's nothing big or, you know, somebody apologizes. You know, it's never, you know, she got a little upset at me at the bros versus pros events just because she's like, you're embarrassing me. And I was, you know, a little hot, but, you know, I apologized later to her.
Yeah, you calmed down right away. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, even when we travel together, I mean, we drive in the car and, you know, we travel to a lot of events and there's plenty of couples that go, how do you guys stand each other for that long?
Yeah, you guys are good. You're better than me, that's for sure.
We like to talk. I mean, we have similar issues or similar interests and we just talk and, you know, we're friends. So I think that's a big part of it. We're lucky that, you know, we can do that. So, hey, who knows? Maybe something in the future after we're done competing or whatever, we can, you know, got another avenue to continue making money.
That's right. Thanks for calling in and great seeing you this past weekend, and we'll see a lot more of you. What's the next show that we're going to see you at and Christina at?
We'll be at the Pittsburgh show May 3rd. Jim Mannion show. We have a couple of competitors, and, you know, we always like coming out to that show. It's nice to be able to see, you know, friends and you know, do a little work up there, meeting new people and possibly getting new clients and stuff. But it's a great show, and, you know, I won that show in the past, and I'll keep coming back, you know, for Jim Mannion.
Well, check out Mike Liberatore's guest posing routine on rxmuscle.com. Thanks, Mike. We will be in touch.
Awesome, Dave. Thank you.
That was Mike Liberatore, IFBB pro bodybuilder, and he helped me do a little wrap-up of the weekend. You know, one of these days, people are going to get a good idea of what we go through when we travel. You know, Aaron was in Australia all weekend, and I was in St. Louis, and we get back early Monday morning. It's hard to crank these shows out, but we want to give you guys an update of what went on this whole weekend, and hopefully you guys enjoyed it as much as we did, and all the coverage on rxmuscle.com. More to come. We have plenty of interviews still to go up. All the winners, second place, third place finishers will be up ASAP as soon as I get a good night's sleep, and we'll trickle all this stuff up. I know Aaron's got a lot of stuff still to come from Australia as well, but for now we are out of time, and I'd like to thank our guest tonight, Mike Liberatore, for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of rxmuscle.com, the truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at the same time for another round with Dave Palumbo, only on Heavy Muscle Radio.